Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Boston down one, trying to pull off the win of the year. Mike Callahan, we're going to hand it to Marcus Smart here and start the five-second count. Lopez, the seven-footer, waving his arms in front of him. Smart holding it. Bounce pass in. Kyrie's got it. Turns with a left-hand dribble in the paint. Crazy runner. No good, and the ball game is over.
Wow.
Last month in Orlando, Kyrie Irving didn't get the ball in that situation and wasn't happy about it. Tonight, he gets it, but his runner bounces out. And the Bucks have survived.
Try to set a good screen on Moof. I don't know if he got fouled or not. I don't know what happened. And then I had 3.5 and tried to make a best play.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. 98.5 Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb covering the Celtics. Producing the show. He covers them for Boston Sports Journal. Also have Tim McCone alongside as well, and you at 617-779-0985. So the Celtics return from the interminable All-Star break, 8 days that felt like 50, with a bit of a dud in Milwaukee as they lose to the Bucks on Thursday night. Celtics now 2-8 on the road against teams that are 500 or better. Not good. I am a jumping ship. I've declared this yesterday. I've lost faith in this group in regard to getting out of the East. Milwaukee, yep, they're flawed. But as the saying goes, the old cliche, Chris, the numbers don't lie. And I have statistical fact that backs up why I'm jumping ship. But take this with a grain of salt, because any of these proclamations I've made before have certainly blown up in my face, and I've been happy that I've been wrong. So probably by me saying this means the Celtics are going to end up winning the title.
You beat me, too. I just was going to say, I was like, all right, I am making reservations in San Francisco for June. If Jim's jumping ship, this means the Celtics will be in the finals, and they're probably going to win it. So get ready for another rolling rally. Banner 18 is a lock if Jim is jumping ship. This is the best news I've heard in weeks.
Yeah, you should probably celebrate this right now. Didn't believe in the Patriots, referred to them as just like the 2019.
Yeah.
Called it a lost season after the loss in Pittsburgh.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah, so, right, like well, many of us thought that way. But was wrong there. Yeah. Didn't believe in the Red Sox. Yeah. Had the asterisk board out for it at one point.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, wheel of gutless bums again. How many times can you make a proclamation and be wrong? Lord knows I'll keep doing it. But there's numbers that don't lie, like I said, with this team, and they speak to reoccurring issues with the Celtics. I don't think they're really going to change between now and when I think they lose to Milwaukee in the second round, because I don't think that their seeding's going to change all that much. It feels to me like they're going to see the Bucks in that second round. And again, they're flawed, but even looking at that first round last year, and I know you agree with me on this, like that was a hard-fought, tough series.
Oh,
I think if that's flipped, Milwaukee
has definitely
home court, the Bucks win that series.
I mean, I traveled to one. I think it was a game six in Milwaukee last year. I mean, there's no way. Like, if the Celtics had to play game seven in Milwaukee, they would have lost. I'm sorry. They would have.
But the reoccurring issues, again, I bring up the road record against teams 500 or better. 2-8 now. So, okay, hopefully that can get better, but it doesn't seem like it's going to. Marcus Smart's horrendous.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
I'm just sort of curious. I know, so 2-8, I know one of those is against Philadelphia, which, you know, speaking of asterisks, and what's the other one?
OKC.
OKC, right, yeah. That was about
November.
OKC didn't have their stuff together, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, that's reassuring.
Marcus Smart's horrendous shooting. The other night, 1-for-5 from 3, 2-for-8 from 2. He's going to keep shooting threes. That's not going to change, right? Terry Rozier is the guy that's the bigger issue here. So many people want to try to make the case for Terry Rozier if Kyrie Irving's to leave. Like, okay, we just signed Terry Rozier. He's the answer. He is not. He proved again on Thursday night. 0-for-4 from 3, 2-for-8 from 2. But if you go back to his three complete no-shows in the playoffs in that series last year, great here, terrible in Milwaukee. It was near 111 minutes combined that he played in games 3, 4, and 6, and he had 35 combined points, shot less than 30%. He's been bad on the road, particularly in that building. He can't elevate his game on the road in a big moment. It's now proven. I don't think that that's going to change. Terry Rozier is as inconsistent as the day is long. He's one of the main reasons. I look at that game Thursday night, and I'm like, nah, I don't see it. Unless the seating improves, and then they can have home court somehow. It doesn't feel like it's going to be, in terms of first couple of rounds. He's one of the guys I look at and be like, if Kyrie is going to have the night that he had the other night, and I don't know if he's going to be as bad as 9-for-27, but if Kyrie has an off night, you need Rozier to be better. And on the road, I don't think he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other factor, though, is, and I'll get to Rozier in a second, I mean, you have to remember they didn't have Hayward in that game, and Hayward had been playing really well. So I think in a on a normal night, if Rozier didn't have it, they would have had other options there to pick up the slack, and I think that's where Hayward comes in. In terms of Rozier, I agree. Everything you said in terms of the road numbers, you're right about that. But I also think that when I look at his struggles this year, I think a lot of it has to do with the fit and the role. And I know he didn't necessarily play great in the last couple of games where Kyrie didn't play before the All-Star, but, you know, before he played in the All-Star game for 25 minutes. But I think a lot of it has to do with Rozier. Some guys just can't produce the same way when you put them in a lesser role, and I think he's one of those guys. Like, he needs to know that when he misses those shots early on that he's going to get more shots in the game, and I think he sort of panics a little bit when he misses shots because he's looking for the hook and he knows he's not going to get other shots later on in the game, or at least he feels that pressure, and I think that's a big part of it. I think if he were in a role where he were getting more consistent minutes, I think you'd see a more consistent player.
And then we have curious coaching decisions, and this isn't, you know, obviously statistical fact, but it just, there's continued coaching oddities that by Brad Stevens that I can't wrap my head around. For one, I mean, maybe the most obvious is, why is Kyrie Irving the second option on that last play? And then two, Jaylen Brown, when it is, again, yeah, like he's been in
the Jaylen Brown,
and understandably at times he's been in Brad Stevens' doghouse, okay? But when he's playing as well as he did on Thursday night, he and Al Horford to me were the two best players in the Celtics on Thursday in that game. How does he get only 24 minutes, especially, as you point out, Gordon Hayward's not playing that night? 24 minutes for Jaylen Brown when he's playing as well as he is? And then Gershon Yabusele's even getting minutes that, to me, he's taking away from Jaylen Brown? Like, that, to me, makes absolutely no sense.
Well, I'll say a couple things, and I agree with you on Jaylen Brown, but just looking at the box score, so one thing was he was a minus 14 in the game, believe it or not, so that could have been a part of it. You know, they wanted to get Semi Ojeleye minutes. They believe in him covering Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so Semi played 12 minutes. Semi, unfortunately, was a minus 11 as well. I agree with you overall, though, and I felt like he did this in that Golden State game. Jaylen Brown had it going in the first half and then basically got iced in the third quarter, where Gordon Hayward, who had nothing in that game, who was abysmal in that game,
falling,
it might have been
one
of the games where I referred to him as G League Gordon Hayward. He was brutal, and he got on the floor before Brown did in that third quarter, and Brown didn't get in until late in the third quarter. So I do think your criticism is legitimate, and that on the nights when Jaylen Brown does have it going, Brad has a tendency to ice him by not going back to him soon enough. Now, I will defend Brad on this. On the flip side of what we're talking about, late in that game, Jaylen Brown and his loose handle were an issue because he was turning the ball over. And I wonder if that's sort of part of what played into it. He had a couple of very careless turnovers.
No, that's just unfortunately part of his game. Maybe the biggest detriment to Jaylen Brown's game, that handle. And boy, he ain't that great at the line either. So where are you on all of this there, Tim McCone, their basketball boy? Again, I've lost faith in this group in regard to that game on Thursday. I still think that they're a good team, but I don't know. They've kind of buried themselves at this point to me in terms of seeding. I think that they would win the first round against Philadelphia, but they see Milwaukee in round two. They don't have
I think they'll be I think they'll be the three seed. Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, I think when it's all said and done, they'll be ahead of both Philadelphia and Indiana. I know Indiana is playing well without Oladipo, but I think they'll be the three seed. So you might be looking at, you know, Toronto in the second round.
I'm with you, Jim. I think they've buried themselves here. I don't expect them to get to the finals. And honestly, it's gotten to the point, and it was really the press conference, or not really the press conference, the interviews afterwards, where Kyrie is kind of going off on some of the media. Wouldn't be the end of the world if Kyrie left. I think he's going to anyways, but I'm kind of
You're done.
Over it.
You're over the Kyrie experience,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I really am. Oh, yeah. Wow. And I was like, team, do whatever you have to do to make him happy. Let him play in the All-Star game. I don't care. After that, I'm just kind of like, you know what? You're not going to convince Anthony Davis to stay in Boston long-term. That's not going to happen. Kyrie's probably going to bolt too, so whatever. Ultimately, I'm all set. There's a different way to win too. It's going to be a little harder without Kyrie Irving, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Oh, man. I am still in like, wow, this is like an incredibly hot chick that I have no business being with, and I will do whatever I have to do. I will swallow my pride. And I think Stevens and Angel, I mean, I said in NBC Sports Boston this week, I think a little piece of Brad Stevens' soul has died this year in terms of dealing with Kyrie Irving.
Oh, him, but, Ainge, all of them, the whole front office. But can you blame him? Okay, you came home and your car was keyed because she was mad. But, man, that sex is so good. That handle, the scoring ability, what are you going to do? You keep coming back, you keep coming back, you got to keep that nut happy. But nope, he's getting the official boot from McCone, the old McCone boot in the ass. So he's saying goodbye. Brian Raw, Boston Sports Journal, covering this team. Where are you with them right now? Am I being too drastic and giving up hope after Thursday night's loss?
I'm on the other side of the fence here, Jim. I was actually a little encouraged
really?
By that game of Thursday for a couple reasons.
Take off your Celtics t-shirt.
Yeah, no, take off a shirt here.
Take off the Celtics jersey.
Here's the thing, though. The Bucks, you know, they've been a powerhouse. No one's beaten them at home in like 2 months. And you went in there, you had your worst shooting night of the year without Hayward and Baines. You got nothing out of Rozier either. And you were right there. Like, if obviously you don't blame the loss on the officials, they had plenty of other opportunities to win that game otherwise, but you were still right there. So I think, again, if Hayward keeps looking like he has in the last few weeks, if this twisted ankle doesn't kind of sideline him, I liked a lot of the things that Brad Stevens did in this game. Terry Rozier, notwithstanding, he shouldn't be playing this much. But I think the Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton matchup was nice. Having Smart in the starting five to limit him all game long, I think is big. And then, again, you have Hayward in there to take some of Rozier's minutes in a future playoff matchup. And, yeah, I just don't trust, you know, I trust Horford and Tatum versus Mirotić and Ilyasova. Like, those kind of matchups that are going to come in a seven-game series, it's not going to be easy. But I still like the Celtics team just based on how the matchups look.
Okay, so, yeah, and there were some good things that I liked. I loved Horford and how he frustrated Giannis in that game. But
he owns the Bucks. Horford really owns the Bucks. Career-high 17 rebounds in that game.
But, B-Rob, what about the Jaylen Brown decision that I was talking about?
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think we saw... There's no question that he's been in Brad's doghouse for a while now in terms of like crunch time play. And at some point, I think this was a very interesting look in terms of what is this team's closing five going to be? We're like 60 games in the year and we still don't know. That's not set yet. That's a problem. You need to know who you can go with there. And I think Hayward is like in that spot where Morris played in this game. But I think the case can be made in some games. Jaylen should be in that spot. And so this was one of them. We saw that Middleton wide open three to win the game. Like, that was some scrambling there. Morris was late to react. I feel like if Jaylen's in the game right there, you know, he might, you know, he's obviously faster than Morris. He might recover better there. But I think this is a very interesting question now for the final 20 games. Like, what is your closing five? Brad Stevens needs to figure this out for this team to kind of like get into gear heading into the postseason.
617-779-0985. We want to join the Celtics conversation here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. There's a lot to get to, including Kyrie Irving's continued blow-up anytime a microphone or camera is put in front of his face. Steve Bulpet, not the enemy, by the way, but sure, his question could have been asked a little bit more streamlined.
Artfully?
Yeah, artfully, yeah. So we'll get to that. Want to get your thoughts on that. And the fact, well, the way he looked, I don't know, joyless on the court, too, and, you know, was lacking an effort in terms of defense the other night. Like, that was one of the things that stood out to me, too. It was like, oh, boy, if this starts to go sideways here, you could lose him. And then what are we going to be looking at going forward? So I want to get into Kyrie Irving, some of the comments made surrounding Kyrie Irving this week, including from Chauncey Billups, who was on whose podcast this week. But he said some interesting things, saying that he believes that the Celtics are better without him. So we'll get to all of that and your calls here talking about the Celtics, because again, in terms of them getting out of the East after Thursday, I'm out. You should take that as a positive, because anytime I make these proclamations, usually the teams end up winning a championship. So congrats to the Celtics, who are the NBA champions. You can mark it down right now. They're going to end up getting there and beating the Warriors in an upset in seven games. 617-779-0985. We'll get right to you and more here on the Sports Hub Celtics show next. 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's all over the internet.
Do you live it? Is the internet real for you in your life? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions?
Yeah.
About cooling it off? For what?
The reason we're asking,
I don't get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people, the fans are interested in it.
Oh, the fans.
Yeah.
This is about the fans.
Oh, well, that's
about... Okay, this is about... So you're right for the fans.
You do it your life, but I don't care.
Okay, so that's where we start off the conversation. What I do with my life is my business.
Oh,
So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, it's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking, and then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, you, do you get that? And then I'm asking, and I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans, and you brought up the fans? Come on, man. We do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bullshit like this. A video, though, to pull water on it, makes no sense. It just makes no sense. It's not real life.
He's very temperamental, that Kyrie Irving. Sports Up Celtics show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, you, 617-779-0985. That was seemingly the last straw for one Tim McCone. After that, he said he's out. You know what? There's always so much. I get it. Very hot. The handles, the scoring ability. Maybe one of the top five players in the NBA. It's so hot. Yeah, the sex is so good. But you've embarrassed me for the last time. You can't get drunk and ruin the dinner while we're out with coworkers. Like, I can't do it. That's the last straw. Like, I Tim McCone, will not put up with this type of behavior anymore. Again, so hot, so good. But I'm out. See ya. Leave this summer. I'll find someone else. Find someone far more stable. Will the sex be as good? No. The scoring be as good? No. But I'll be happier and much more calm going forward. Me? I still put up with it. Not a great look from Kyrie, becoming more unhinged by the day, seemingly anytime a microphone or camera is stuck in his face. Now, Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald could have asked that question. You said a little bit more.
Well, just a little bit more. Just artfully. Like, sometimes you know you're going into a sticky situation, and like, far be it from me to advise. Steve's been doing it for 35 years, man. He knows what he's doing. He's a pro. But it's just one of those ones where I wonder if Kyrie responded. It seemed like Kyrie's response, and in large part, was due to the idea of the language of, and we've all been there as journalists, when you say something, you're like, oh man, this guy's going to seize on this one phrase I use instead of the actual question. And it seemed like Kyrie seized on pour cold water on it. Like, somehow Kyrie resented the fact that he felt that Steve was saying it was somehow Kyrie's responsibility to pour cold water on that. I think that's what Kyrie seized on.
Yeah. Don't tell Kyrie what to do. Very demanding, very mercurial. Doesn't take much for that back to go up.
No, no. He's a recalcitrant sort. No question about that.
Steve Bulpet, not out to get you, though. Again, could have been asked a little bit more tactfully, but he's not out to get you. And the other things, too, just listening to this, like, now, the bigger issue to me with Kyrie and what he's been saying has more to do with how he continues to call out his teammates. You know, like, that's the worst look. But this, I don't know. Like, I got a little bit irked at the fact, like, the whole internet thing. Like, okay, I get it. The internet's real when you need it to be, when you're trying to hawk some nonsense for your vegan lifestyle, like your latest Instagram post. But we read too much into a video of you playing grab ass with Kevin Durant at the All-Star Weekend in Charlotte last weekend. And, you know, you're likely going to be frolicking around New York with him next summer, but it's all fake news and the media sucks.
Yeah.
And you're reading too much into this. Yeah. Oh, and the fans want. Yeah, guess what, dude? The fans do want.
Well, you know, look, you're right. And here's the other side of that. You know, I think Kyrie could have handled it better. No question about that. I think he got frustrated and upset. I think he has to remember that a lot of this is due to the fact that he sort of refuses to address and to be in a situation where he is reinforcing the preseason pledge he made. Okay, so that's part of it. The other thing, he says, I'm talking to one of my best friends. That's true. But what's also true is here are two high-profile free agents having a discussion at the All-Star game. And so in a way, like, look, I'm pro-players. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm pro-players in every sport. I've always been that way. But I think NBA players have to realize that with the tremendous power they have and freedom to form super teams and go wherever they want, you know, this is sort of what comes with that, because people are going to look at a conversation like that and read into it. Now, if Kevin Durant were not a free agent, then I think Kyrie would be absolutely right in what he said. But the reality is, two guys like that who are high-profile free agents in a league where guys are known to sort of plan in advance to play together, and when you have a pledge that you made that you won't reinforce, like, that's kind of what's going to happen, man. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, and you've also gotten this kind of bitchiness from Kevin Durant in recent weeks too, and what leads me to believe, Chris, is that they're just mad they can't control the message. You know what I mean? Like, this reeks of, like, hey, at some point this summer we want to have this kind of news go out on the Players Tribune, or we want to have a video we want to put together, and we want to be able to control this.
Yeah.
And they kind of can't. And like you said, I mean, with this type of notoriety in that sport and how it's run now, and it is run by the players, and I'm mostly for that, like, this is what comes with it. What the hell do you expect? And the other thing, too, I think that he gets a little bit twisted is, okay, maybe it's bitchiness on behalf of those of us that are media people, and that's why he gets his back up. But when he talks about the fans, like, I don't think the fans are coming from a negative area where they're, you know, want to know what he's doing with Kevin Durant and, you know, what it looked like and are you going to be going to New York and, like, why they keep asking questions. That's not coming from and a place of anger. I think it's coming from a place of fear because he's beloved here. They know how important he is to the team. They know the talent level. They're afraid of losing him. That's why people are interested.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I mean, he's like I said, I think he's one of the most fascinating guys in sports. I do. And I think he's a really bright guy. And I just think that sometimes, you know, he just so resents sort of being told what to do, or he feels like media people are trying to get him to say something, or sort of, in a way, he feels like they're underestimating his intelligence, and he just has to let you know, like, I'm not going to play that. And I get that. I get that. But I think you also need to be a little bit more sort of, you know, self-aware about why these questions are being asked. And also, I think there's a way to diffuse them that's, you know, again, we mentioned Bull Pat being more artful. I think Kyrie could have been more artful there. There's a way to flip that conversation and sort of say, you want to talk about this? Because I want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks in a big game that we need to win. You know, we have, at that point, 24 games left. We need to win every one of them. We haven't played our best basketball yet. You know, that's my focus. That's all you have to say, instead of, like, you do it for the likes and sort of getting to a point where now you're arguing with slash belittling media members, because that never ends well.
And in terms of him actually playing in that game last Sunday in Charlotte and how he looked, mostly kind of disinterested at times on Thursday night, especially defensively, you thought that was – it just proves it was a bad look he played in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know I've been consistent on this one. I just don't think it was the right decision. Now, does that mean it's, you know, it's a crime? No. I mean, it's really a trivial crime at the end of the day. For me, what was more interesting about it was I thought it was a window into the Celtic organization. And to your point about, you know, sort of your hot chick analogy here, or, you know, hot guy, you can go either way, like – it was a window into that for me, because I just thought that Ainge and Stevens tripped all over themselves to try and spin this to say that it was in the best interest of the team, when it really wasn't, when it was really all about Kyrie wanting to play in the game. And it really had nothing to do with what was best for the Celtics. And again, I think they got caught in a little bit of a fib, because, you know, Brad was sort of saying, look, you know, we can't do anything until Wednesday anyway. So he actually, not only do we endorse him playing in this game, but, like, he needs to play in this game for the betterment of the team. And it was like, well, okay, well, what happened on Tuesday with Gordon Hayward and Semi Ojeleye messing around and Gordon Hayward twists his ankle? Like, couldn't Kyrie have been doing stuff with the Celtics instead of having to play in that game to not be rusty? And then, oh, by the way, like, he plays in the game on Thursday and starts out 2-15. So he still looked kind of rusty to me. So I just think it was an interesting window into the fact that the Celtics are just bending over backwards to appease him at this point, because I think they're scared that he could bounce.
Yeah, the hot girl analogy, he blew off like two dinners that you were supposed to go on with your parents, and then she was like, we're going to go to this party on Saturday, and spent the whole time flirting with another guy in your face. That's what that was.
That's pretty good, McCoy.
And I don't know, like, I look at it.
That sounded awfully personal, McCoy.
Yeah, right. Not from experience or anything like that.
Better, more talented guy.
Like, you know, it's like, and then she, you know, she's at this party, and she's flirting with this other Providence sports anchor. I mean, NBA team.
No, and I just look at it, and it's like, yeah, fans care. It's been this rebuild's taken 5 years, and we're kind of at the apex of the whole thing, and now it's like getting wishy-washy on whether or not you want to commit. So yeah, fans are going to be upset if they see you talking with Durant, because there's a ton of rumors surrounding it. And I look back at it, and ultimately, yeah, like, he's a really good player, and if there's an opportunity to re-sign him, that's fine. But he's also only played 70 games 3 times in his career so far. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of risk, and I think it kind of gets undersold that he hasn't exactly had the best career in terms of his ability to stay on the court, because he's such a dynamic player. And I don't know, we've seen it in Washington with John Wall now. That's turned into a disaster. I just think that there's more to this than just, yeah, he's a really good player, you need to have him resign.
Can I ask you a quick question, McCone? One of these NBA questions. Would you rather have, moving forward, Kyrie Irving or Damian Lillard?
Damian Lillard, probably. Yeah.
Like, that's a guy that's done it in Portland and has been one of the more steady, you know, really, really good guards.
He's so underrated.
And you never hear a peep from him. Like, that's a guy that's, you know, leading by example if you wanted to, you know, in terms of on-the-court play. Like, you don't hear anything, any kind of blow-ups with him. So, yeah, that's the more steady, responsible guard that's going to have the babies for you, McCone. Not going to be out gallivanting with other sports hosts or whatever in Providence.
I'm fine with a seven. That's fine. Yeah, no issues.
A steady seven for McCone. That's all he's looking for. I promise we'll get right to your calls coming up, and we'll hear from Chauncey Billups, who was on a podcast earlier this week saying that Kyrie gone and the Celtics, they're going to benefit from that because they're better off without him. We'll get to that, and I promise your calls next here. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
First of all, I was surprised when he said it, and I didn't know if he just got caught up in the emotion of the event, but I was really, really surprised that he had went there and pretty much committed to him. And then he put it in reverse and was like, nah, this is, you know, I was surprised, you know. But you know what it tells me, though, Ryan, is this, like, to me, he's not happy there, you know. You go through the season, they've underachieved. It just doesn't seem like a lot of synergy and harmony with the squad like that. So it's basically, to me, it's him saying, I'm not sold on this situation. You know, you look at the way that they play, you know, they're, and it's crazy to say this, Ryan, but they're fine without Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? I think Brad is like a system coach and a very good one. And his system is kind of like ball movement, people movement. And they play that way almost better, you know, for that system when Kai is not really there.
Chauncey Billups on the Ryan Russillo podcast earlier this week thinks Kyrie is gone and the Celtics will be better off without him. Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, 617-779-0985. Jordan in Foxborough, where were you with Kyrie as of right now? Hello, Jordan.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, I would like to make a distinction between how Garnett was received in Boston and how Kyrie Irving is received, and they're both superstars. However, the personality of Kevin Garnett, of putting on your work hat and going for that defensive play, rubbed off on the entire team. I really think that even though it was Paul Pierce's team, in a way it was Kevin Garnett's personality, and that's why we won that year. In the same way, I feel like that's why our team is underachieving right now. It's because all the skill is there, but you're seeing Kyrie's personality rub off on our team, whereas really, if you wanted to choose a player that it should be Marcus Smart.
Well, yeah, in terms of personality and, like, the grit factor and all of that, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, no, if everybody played with the heart of Marcus Smart, it would have a different look. There is a disconnect there, so I think Colin makes a good point, you know, because there's times where it looks disjointed and disconnected, and if there is one word you could use to maybe describe Kyrie Irving in terms of how this whole experience has been this year, it's disconnected. Steve in Winchester on Brad Stevens. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, you know, Kyrie's a fantastic player, but, you know, Brad Stevens really has to take some responsibility for managing the team, and I don't know if you see the same thing, but Brad Stevens this year looks like he hates his job. And it appears like he might even be afraid of Kyrie. Kyrie's clearly not manageable. He's proven that in Cleveland. He's proven it here in Boston. You know, I think Brad is a different coach this year than what we've seen in the past. And you know, Chauncey just made the point, the dude is a systems coach, I mean, for sure. And the system does work. And Kyrie is all about Kyrie, always has been, and I think always will be. And I think Danny Ainge missed an opportunity a couple of weeks ago at the trade deadline to at least get something for him. And now we're going to end up with nothing. So just like to get your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, so for those that are out on Kyrie Irving like Steve is, like McCone is, I think you're better served to try to make a deep run. I think that they do actually match up well with the Golden State Warriors. In fact, prior to that loss about a month ago now, they were the only team that they didn't have a winning record against. So they match up well with them in the last handful of years. So I think you're better served to try to go in a deep run and, you know, push them and maybe upset them, win a title, or at least have a competitive finals. Maybe that convinces him to stay. Because what would you get? It would be pennies on the dollar in terms of a trade.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same scenario for any team that acquires him, right? Like, can we convince him to stay? And the Celtics are just too invested in this year, I think, to make that type of deal.
And Brad Stevens, I don't think he's miserable. I think frustrated at times. Again, let's bring in Brian Rubb, covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. Again, you're in the locker room. You're around the players. Seems like you have a good rapport with Brad Stevens. First on that, do you think he's had a challenging year? Do you notice any kind of a different attitude from Coach Stevens?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, he won't show it publicly with us because that's just not how he rolls. But sure. Yeah, there's no question that this has been very hard for him for a variety of just the a situation like this with so many factors, with Hayward coming back, with the young guys wanting their minutes, with trying to fit everything together. Like, I don't know if there's a precedent for before. We just haven't, you know, Stevens has to learn on the fly here, and that's been tough for him. But what I will say, guys, I don't know if you believe this. I think in terms of appeasing Kyrie, we saw the All-Star game stuff support that you guys talked about, Chris. I also think his minutes, like playing 41 minutes the other night, like that says a lot. Like, and if you look back in the last month, he's playing 36 or more minutes in 8 of the last 9 games. So clearly, Kyrie wants to play, and Brad's kind of staying out of the way now. Like, all right, if we're going to be worried about losing this guy, like, we're going to let him play more. Or maybe it just be, hey, we need to win some games. We can't, like, save him for the postseason anymore. But I think it's more, and you could kind of hear in that Rachel Nichols interview, made the reference to playing time there.
He did.
And so that was very slyly put in there. And if you look at the last month, it's like, oh, yep, he's going to get what he wants now.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, so to me, B-Rob, that's a little bit of a red flag. And this is not a criticism of Brad. It's more of a criticism of Kyrie. Just, you know, knowing what this team is and that its strength is supposed to be its depth, for him to sort of say, like, you know, I'm in the prime of my career and I'm not playing the minutes that I want to play, that's a little bit of a red flag to me in terms of, does he understand what the strength of the team is and ultimately what the team needs to be and where they need to be to maximize their opportunity?
I think he does, but I think he also looks at Terry Rozier missing all those threes and is like, I need to be playing 40 minutes right now because we're not good enough unless I'm not.
That means he's out then. That means he's out on I don't want to say all the young guys. I know he's been highly critical of them, but that means I would say that he's out on Rozier and Jaylen Brown. Like, he's just out on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, and that might just been an underlying tension we've seen throughout the year between the old guard and the young guard. I don't think he's out. Like, he likes Tatum. Like, those guys, they're still
the Duke thing.
He likes the Duke thing. But yeah, clearly, like, he definitely likes starting with Marcus Smart a lot more than starting with Jaylen Brown. Like, that's been clear for months now. And now as Jaylen comes back now and has better games, it's clear that Brad doesn't trust him either and for the crunch time moments, because, and who knows how much Kyrie has to do with that. But again, they're still trying to figure this all out right now, but it's clear that he doesn't trust the young guys as much as we thought.
So again, being around the team, you know, sticking microphones in their face, get when you need to.
I didn't know where you were going there.
So you can write your columns for Boston Sports Journal. Again, check out some of the best Celtics coverage, Boston Sports Journal, from Brian Rubb. Are you convinced he's gone, or can they still massage this and convince him to stay?
No, I think they can still convince him to stay. I think there's obviously a chance here that he's gone. Like, when he made those comments in New York, he didn't talk to the media for 4 days before that, so he knew exactly what he was doing.
Right.
So, like, stuff like that, like, everything's a bit more calculated than we think here. But I still think the Celtics think they're in a good position. And to the caller's point, like, trade him at the deadline, they could have gotten nothing for him then, because what you guys talked about, because any team could lose him in free agency. So you got to just put your best foot forward here. Brad Stevens has to figure out how to maximize this group. And then you make the deep run and you figure out if you have to trade for AD or not to keep him.
All right, we'll continue to take your Celtics calls. Got a couple open lines you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Have you turned on Kyrie because of some of his behavior here over the last couple of weeks? 617-779-0985. Your calls, and Chris, I want to get your thoughts on Zion Williamson, who is not going to play tonight for Duke against Syracuse. His exploding shoe about 36 seconds into that game against North Carolina earlier this week. I know I've never seen anything like that, but should he shut it down going forward? I want to get your thoughts on that. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
Zion Williamson, as you can see, heading to the locker room right now for the Blue Devils.
When we get to the point where you got clowns on television saying, oh, don't play, That's what you do, Ernie. That's what we do. We play basketball. I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. This kid looked like he's going to be a fantastic player. But I get so mad when people like act like money's the only thing that matters in the world. Like, oh, dude, you're going to go in the NBA. Don't play. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Charles Barkley pissed about takes surrounding Zion Williamson. He of Duke, freshman star at Duke, who's not playing against Syracuse tonight because of that mild knee sprain sustained earlier in the week when his shoe exploded. Not a good look, Nike. Not Gasper Murray, Sports Hub Celtic Show with Gasper Murray here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Thoughts on this, what Barkley said, some of these takes saying that he should shut it down going further. Again, he dodged a big bullet here, mild knee sprain, and that looked bad. I know, I tuned out immediately afterwards after, you know, they get him out the court the rest of that game. I'm like, I'm good. I just kind of like tune in to watch him. A lot of hype surrounding
that.
He's
a draw.
Good to see former President Obama in the crowd there with that jacket, which I was so envious of. That thing was badass with the 44 on it.
Yeah, that was a baller jacket.
But after that, I was like, okay, I'm out. And you wish the best for the kid because you don't want to see him hurt, especially for something so ridiculous. I don't remember ever seeing that. And obviously, you know, there's now clips of other shoes that have exploded from basketball players. I think even Manu Ginobili had happened to at one point. A few years back, but man, I don't ever remember seeing that. It maybe has more to do about this kid's size and the fact he's built like Vernon Davis. Maybe get him a stronger shoe, Timberlands maybe, I don't know, put him in boots. Like a guy that size, I guess I shouldn't be all that surprised, but again, not a good look for
you
Nike.
Know, his AAU team was Adidas, so.
But I don't know, just more on what Barkley said, because you hear this from others. Do you agree with that? I mean,
yeah, look, I think you know I'm not a big fan of anything Charles Barkley has to say about college basketball. I don't think he's really clued in on it. I understand what he's trying to say, which is it is bigger than basketball. It's not so easy to just tell Zion Williamson, don't play. So I think, you know, Barkley's heart is in the right place, and I understand his message. You know, I think the way it was relayed was, you know, a little bit over the top. Here's the issue to me is why does he have to choose between letting his teammates down and shutting it down to protect and preserve his pro basketball earning power and getting compensated, you know, right now for his ability? That's the problem. You know, it's sort of like a false choice that's created by the college basketball system for this guy. He should be able to get some money now, be compensated for his skills, and still play with those guys if he wants to. The guy's a huge draw. I mean, every time I turn on SportsCenter, he's in the A block, you know, which, you know, for people who don't know TV parlance, like, you know, that's the first block. Like, he's on. And they're teasing him endlessly so that, you know, if there's something later on in the show with him, they want you to stick around to see it. You just said that you checked out the moment he got hurt. I mean, he is a, like,
I mean, for real hoop heads, Chris, we're going on a good year and a half that this kid's been hyped. He's been on the covers of Slam Magazine.
Yep.
You know, he's got YouTube clips all over the place that have gone viral. Like, he's a draw, like you said.
No question about it. He's one of the biggest draws in sports right now. Do you know that tickets for that game?
Yeah, they were going for like $5,000, if not more.
They were the highest priced ticket, ESPN, were going for upwards of $10,650. For that game. The lowest price tickets days before that were $2,500. So when you look at that, I mean, I just think that the whole system's broken and they put him in a situation where he has to make this choice that he shouldn't even have to really make. And what's encouraging to me moving forward is that the NBA with the G League next year, 2019-20 season, is going to have something called select contracts where really highly touted kids coming out of high school can sign a one-year deal with the G League and make six figures. They'll make $125,000 because I think that's so needed. And there was the talk this week, first reported in USA Today, that the NBA is going to drop the age limit so that high school kids can go straight to the NBA again. I think that's what needs to happen so that you don't have a Zion Williamson in this situation. And I also would say, you know, college basketball, you got to start compensating these guys with more than the education, an education that, you know, that these guys are not going to have either the opportunity or the intention at this time in their lives of completing. Like, do people really think that, like, Zion Williamson can say, like, oh, I want to be a pre-med major, and hey, Coach K, I know we have lift at this time and practice at this time, but I got to take this chemistry class, so I'm going to miss that, you know, because you're paying me in an education. Do they really think he can do that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have twisted their
minds. I mean, that's just so asinine to me.
That's ridiculous.
This guy doesn't, he's not a student athlete. He's not even, you know, a student at Duke. He's an employee of Coach K Inc. That's what he is, an uncompensated employee of Coach K Inc.
Yeah, a kid that, he's the most highly touted prospect in the NBA. since Anthony Davis, maybe LeBron, right? So he's a cash cow for the school. I don't know. I just whatever that's going to continue forever. Is that will con- that there's going to be a certain segment of people that are rubbed the wrong way when you say to college athletes, especially that are as prominent as Zion Williamson, should be paid. I just always hate seeing a guy like, you know, ultimately see their career blow up before it even starts because of a freak accident. You remember, was it Marcus Lattimore, the running back at South Carolina about 5-6 years ago?
Yep.
God awful knee injury, and just like that, a guy who was going to be maybe a top five pick in the NFL. Just like that, he's wiped out and he never even gets a chance to play. Like, you should be compensating these guys. Again, because people are tuning in. The schools are making mountains of money off
players. I mean,
like
Zion moves the needle. He boosts ratings. He boosts ticket prices. He boosts interest in college basketball overall. And what I would say, and look, I'm obviously not Jay Billis or Jay Williams or Dick Vitale. I'm not Mr. College Basketball. I do love the sport. I do watch it. So take this with a grain of salt. But he's boosting interest in college basketball in a year where I think the product is very mediocre.
Yeah. Let's go to your calls on this and anything else Celtics-related that we've been talking about here in the last hour at 617-779-0985. I started by saying with Thursday night's loss, I don't think the Celtics are getting out of the East. KJ in Fall River, it seems like you agree.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
You know what? I think the Celtics are done. You know, they're the fifth seed right now. And if they finish with the fifth seed, only one team, fifth seed or below, has ever won the championship. And to be frankly honest, this team isn't playing together either. So forget about it. It's done. It's over.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so it sounds like KJ's on my side too. But again, you always get the seal of, the seal of almost approval when I write off a team.
Oh, like I feel good.
Like I did with the Patriots in December, said it was a lost season after they lost to the Steelers. I didn't really believe in the Red Sox. Thought it was a weighted win total that they had going to the playoffs. Didn't believe in them, and I couldn't have been more wrong about both of them.
So, you know, now that you're talking about this, I feel like that we're talking about Duke, Krzyzewski-ville style. I'm going to start camping out my spot for the Celtics rolling rally. I'm going to reserve that right now because it's happening. I'll have a front row spot. I can throw a beer can, I guess, and hit Kyrie Irving in the face because apparently that is what people like to do now at these celebrations reason, which makes no sense. But yeah, I'll do that. I mean, book it. Mark it down. Save the tape. The Celtics are winning the championship because Jim Murray is out on the Celtics.
It's the Jim Murray reverse jinx. It's the seal of approval. The team's going to win the championship now. You know, they'll go all the way through the East, even though no one really expected it, because they won't have home court advantage, and then they'll upset the Golden State Warriors just because I've stopped.
And then they'll win the championship. Kyrie will be happy, and he'll stay. Right. Anthony Davis will come here, and the Celtics will win like back-to-back-to-back championships. All because of Jim Murray.
Book it. 617-779-0985. Two open lines, but I promise we'll get right to your calls because a lot of you still have things to unpack when it comes to the Celtics and now Zion Williamson as well. We'll get right to you right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone here in the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.